Thanks for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has touched your life or changed it in any way, we would love to hear your story. Please email it to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, or go to Facebook and like our page. You can also head to YouTube and click that subscribe button. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message blesses you in some way.
Starting a new series today, and the title of the series is Homeless. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 22 through 25 in just a few moments. I'm really excited about how much this is going to help you, because it goes hand in hand with what we've been learning over the last few weeks about knowing Jesus. And I hope that during the month of September, you learn some things about Jesus and you learn some things about yourself. How many of you did? And how that you can know him better. And how that he really does want to be a part of your life. Not just your Sunday morning life, but your life in general. Jesus wants to be a part of that. And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks, at least, with our time on Sunday morning, talking about why you need a church family. As I always say, I love kids. I'm glad they're here. But how many of you know you need a church family? And if you don't know that, you're going to know that before we're done. And not only are you going to know that you need one, you're going to know why you need one. And you're going to know why God says you need one. Okay? So what I want to do today is really just lay the groundwork for the weeks to come. And so let's go ahead and start reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. The Message translation is really a paraphrase. But this is a verse that we all know really well, and I like the way that it's worded. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out." Now look at this next part, because I know you've never done this, but there are people that have done this. "Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." I love that verse. It's so good. There's so much truth in there. We're going to pull that apart over the next few weeks. But let's go ahead and start this morning with the definition of what it means to be homeless. Homeless means without a home, destitute, down and out, beggar, and drifter. Now, we live here on I-44, and so we all know what it's like to see someone standing out by the road with a sign that says, "Homeless, please help." If I were homeless, my sign would say, "I bet you can't hit me with a half dollar." It's true, it would. You're just mad because you didn't think of it first. Back to my notes. Monday morning during our staff prayer time, and we have staff prayer every weekday at 8:30. But Monday morning during our staff prayer time, I was praying over the series. And I have my notes out there on the desk. And as we were praying, in my mind, I saw a neighborhood of houses. And all of these houses had manicured lawns. And there were families standing by the front door of each house, and they were holding signs. And their signs also said, "Homeless, please help." And in that moment, I realized that there are more homeless believers than there are homeless people. And by homeless, I mean they don't have a church home. And I'm going to go one step further here and say that home is a place where you visit more than once a month. Home is a place where you are connected and where you are contributing. And so you can have a family church decal on your car and still be homeless, spiritually homeless. And we want to do everything in our power to remedy that this morning. So I have a homeless person here today. So he's going to go ahead and come on out. This is, you guys know Aaron. Man, you make a really good homeless person. If this whole working for a living thing doesn't pan out, I think you found your fallback. This is what we typically think about when we think of a homeless person. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I see a homeless person, my mind starts working, and I think to myself, how did they get in that place? Did they lose their job? Are they choosing it? Did someone do something to them that put them in that position? Did life happen? How did they get there? How did they get homeless? I want the Winfreys to go ahead and come. You guys go ahead and come on out. Go ahead and come. All right. Here they are. All right, you guys just stand right here. This is the kind of homelessness that we can see. We know that this person is homeless. But there's another kind of homelessness, and it's a homelessness that we can't see, and it's spiritual homelessness. And there are people all over our city, people all over our area that look just like the Winfreys. Now, they're not homeless in the fact that they don't have a house. They all look like they showered today.
True.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer did. But there are people just like this that you work with every day, that you see at Walmart every day. People every day that are spiritually homeless. They don't have a church family where they're connected, where they're contributing, where they fit, or where they belong. They're homeless. And you know what? I think that a big part of what God has called us to do is solve problems. And one of the problems that a lot of people have is they don't have a church, and God has called us to solve that problem. Can you get behind that? All right, you guys can go. Let's give Aaron his sign back in case he wants to go down to Walmart and stand around for a while. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this up front. I understand that there are times when you can't come to church. And I know that Marianne and Jesse are watching right now, whichever camera I'm looking at, from Connecticut. And so I know there are times that you can't come to church, and you guys are watching this morning, and I think that's awesome. Sometimes your kids are sick. Sometimes you have to work. Sometimes you're out of town. Sometimes life happens. So I get that. I'm not naive to those things. But at the same time, I also understand that the enemy is actively working to keep you away from your spiritual family. Sometimes life happens, but more often than not, the enemy is behind the scenes working to keep you away from your spiritual family. The enemy will offer you every excuse as to why you physically don't need to come to church. And the worst part is, those excuses will make perfect sense to you. And so maybe this morning you even had that argument with yourself of whether or not you were going to come to church. But you went ahead and got here. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how important that is to you. Because you may think that you don't need to go to church. But what you may not know is that Jesus felt the need to go. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Reading from the NLT. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. That verse doesn't say as he always did, it says as he usually did. Is coming to church your usual? Because it was for Jesus. Jesus usually went to church. If Jesus usually went to church, you may never want to miss. If the Son of God usually went to church, then how many of you know that should be our usual as well? If we want to be like him, then we have to do the things that he did. Jesus understood the importance of being connected to a spiritual family. I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But let me give you some statistics. Okay, this is from Barna. These are the latest statistics that are out. 83% of Americans claim to be Christians. 30% actually go to church. Of the 30% that actually go to church, 44% of them attend weekly. So here's what that means. 53% of Christians don't go to church at all, and 56% of those who do go to church don't go every week. That's a big number. And we have to change that. And so my goal in this series is twofold. First, if you're already connected and contributing, I want to reinforce why you should continue. Second, if you're still working on connecting and contributing, I want to help you understand how being a part of a spiritual family will positively impact your life and make your life better. Because I think we all want a life that's better, don't we? And so being a part of a spiritual family will help you do that. I say that because God created you for community. And if you are a believer, having a spiritual family is your natural habitat. Think about that for a moment. If you take an animal out of its natural habitat, it might survive, but it won't thrive. It can't. Because God didn't build it that way. And so being a part of a spiritual family is the environment in which God created you to find the place called best. And while we know that the church isn't perfect, because it's not, it is the vehicle that God designed to carry you into all that he has for you. And so, if you're taking notes, write this down. If Jesus Christ could not fulfill his destiny without the church, then neither can you. If Jesus Christ needed the church to be all that God sent him here to be, then guess what? You need the church too. God created you to be a part of a supernatural family, and we call this family the church. So I guess the question this morning is this. Well, I get that, Larry. I understand it. But here's my question. Where should I go to church? Where should I go to church? And I know you're thinking that I'm going to say family church, but the truth is that's not always the case. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you stay. But your spiritual health is more important to me than the spiritual family that you belong to. And so if I were looking for a church, I put together a list of four things that I'd be looking for. How many of you want to hear what's on my list? I'm going to tell you anyway, so just lift your hand, okay? They were taught that if you give people a say, they're more likely to receive what you're going to say. Even if you're going to say it anyway. So I'm giving you a say. So here's my list. Four things that I would be looking for if I were looking for a new church or looking for a church to belong to. Number one, I would go where it's comfortably uncomfortable. What's that mean? That means you feel at home, but at the same time you also feel stretched and you feel challenged to move forward in your relationship with Christ. In a church that's comfortably uncomfortable, your flesh will be uncomfortable at times, but yet you'll be given information that makes your spirit strong enough to tell your flesh to take a hike. So you're sitting out there and your flesh is like, oh, we don't like this. This hurts. That guy's a jerk. But yet at the same time, you're being fed enough spirit food that your spirit is able to say to your flesh, hey, be quiet and listen. Have you ever had those moments where you're a little bit uncomfortable in church, like some of you are right now? You're comfortably uncomfortable. You're comfortable here, but your flesh is often put in a spot where it's uncomfortable because it's being challenged. So I would go to a church that makes me comfortably uncomfortable. Number two, I would go to a church where there are opportunities to serve. If you drive by a hotel and the sign says no vacancy, you keep driving, and you should do the same thing with a church. If there are no opportunities for you to serve, then you haven't found the right church. Because a church that is serious about the Great Commission will always have opportunities for you to serve. There will always be something for you to do. There will always be a place for you to serve. So I would look for a place where I could serve. Number three, I would look for a place where truth is taught. And there's a litmus test for truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. So if no one is getting free, you're probably not going to a place that's teaching truth. And so I would look for a place that where truth is taught. And then number four, I would go where I looked forward to going. Don't be like this guy. A woman kept calling her husband to get out of bed on Sunday morning. He said, "I don't want to go to church. I'm going to stay right here in this bed." And she said, did anybody have that fight this morning? Okay. She said, you have got to go to church this morning. He continued to tell her, "I'm not going. The church is unfriendly and cold. The people don't like me. I just don't fit in." She says, "Get out of that bed now." He said, "Give me three reasons why I should go." She said, "The church is friendly and they do like you and you're the pastor." Okay. If I woke up on Sunday morning and thought, "Oh Lord, it's Sunday. I got to go to church." I would start questioning whether or not I was plugged into the right spiritual family. But if I woke up on Sunday morning and said, "Oh Lord, it's Sunday and I get to go to church," then I would be thinking I might have found the place where I belong. And I hope that that place is here for you. I really do. I hope that that place is here, and I hope that you stay here. But again, your spiritual health is far more important to me than the spiritual family that you're connected to. Because God wants you moving forward in your relationship with Him. And sometimes it is about being a part of a church that's the right fit. Because the church was never meant to burden you, wear you out, or drain you dry. Church was created, and the people that came over from real life have heard me say this 1,000 times. Church was created so that you could have a place to relax and relate and recharge. And we said that all the time at Real Life Church. This is where you can relax. This is where you can relate. This is where you can recharge. So if coming to church is something that you dread, something is wrong. Now, it could be a spiritual problem that you're unwilling to fix, and that's why you don't want to come. Or it might be that the church that you're in is not a good fit for you. I have a good friend who I work out with most every day, and he attends the Cowboy Church here in town. And if you don't know about Cowboy Church, has anyone ever been to a Cowboy Church? Okay, a Cowboy Church is usually in a rodeo arena, or maybe a sale barn, and it's no air conditioning, it's bleachers, there are not so good smells there, but he loves it, and so do a lot of others. Is it a good fit for me? Not on a regular basis. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah. Would I go? Yes. Would I be excited about going every week? Probably not. But he loves it, and so do a lot of other people. And he loves it because he's a naturalist. There are 9 ways that we connect with God based upon our personality types. And these 9 ways can be used to help you either find the right church for you or help you plug into the church where you're already attending. Now, I didn't plan on sharing these 9 ways, but would anyone like to hear those?
Yeah.
Okay, let's find those. Here they are. All right, let's go through these real quick. And I put this list together years ago. These are 9 ways based upon your personality that will help you find a church or plug into the church that you're already attending. Number 1, you're a naturalist. You are most inspired to worship God outdoors in a natural setting. You probably enjoy outdoor services and singing around a campfire. When you are in nature, you feel God's presence. So if that's you, you need to join the outdoor group. Where's Kevin? Right? Isn't that perfect? Just what we did last night. We sat around the campfire, we prayed, we talked about the Lord, we had fun. That's a naturalist. The second type is what is called the sensationalist. You love to worship God with your senses. You appreciate beautiful worship services that involve sight, taste, smell, hearing, and touch. Worship for you is hands-on. You are the people that loved the Amish bread that we ate. You left here thinking, dear God, that's the best church I've ever been to in my whole life. We had homemade bread and honey and butter. That's the best church I've ever been to. Number 3, traditionalist. You draw near to God through past experience and unchanging styles of worship. What you liked 30 years ago, you still like today. New styles and new ways make you uncomfortable. And if you're here and you're a traditionalist, coming to a church like Family Church that is contemporary, it might be a stretch for you. And I want you to know I get that and I understand that. But I will say this, the message is timeless. So if we're not preaching the same message that the church was preaching in the book of Acts, then you're probably in the wrong church anyway, right? So the message is timeless. So if you're a traditionalist, focus on the fact that the message is timeless and listen to the Gaithers on your way home. Okay. Sometimes you say things out loud that sounded right in your head. No, I do love that too. Don't get me wrong. The fourth way is activist. You love to worship God through confronting evil and battling enemies. Activists love prayer services. They love spiritual warfare. They are like heaven's version of Rambo. If that's you, you need to be on the prayer team. You need to be on the prayer team. You need to be involved in spiritual warfare. Number 5, caregivers. You love God by loving others and meeting needs. You have the gift of hospitality, and you use that gift in the worship of God. Stephen's ministry is a perfect example of that. Cooking meals, preparing meals for people, especially during the passing of loved ones, okay? That's a great ministry for you to get involved in. Number next, enthusiast. You worship God through celebration. These are the people jumping up and down during worship. To them, God is celebration. David was an enthusiast. He celebrated God one time until all of his clothes came off. Now, we don't recommend that. But he was excited. The next one is minimalist. You prefer to worship God in simplicity. You like worship to be simple. You like short, to-the-point sermons. No one said amen. The next one is intercessor. You love God through adoration. These people are usually crying, bowing, and reverencing God's presence with deep emotion. And then the last one is intellectual. You worship God by studying with your mind. You like to hear complicated sermons that really make you think. And I probably fit, I'm probably like a naturalist intellectual probably, because I like complicated sermons. And I like to be outside. And you may be a combination of both. But what I'm trying to say this morning is this. I love the church. Not the building, but the church. And I love the fact that I can get help when I'm here, when my faith is weak. I love the relationships that come out of this place. I love the friendships and truly being a part of a supernatural family. I love the instruction and biblical advice that I get while I'm here. Without the church, there would just be this huge gap in my life. Can anyone else relate to that? There would just be this huge gap in my life. God never intended for you to live life without the church. So this week, read the book of Ephesians. Over and over and over, you're going to hear the Apostle Paul talk about the glorious church. He talks about how Jesus loved the church. He talks about how Jesus died for the church. And guys, if Jesus loved the church and died for the church, then the least that I can do is attend the church. I'm not being asked to die for the church. I'm just being asked to attend the church, and I can do that. So let's shift gears this morning real quick and get a little bit personal. And I want to talk to you about three reasons, a couple minutes each, why the devil would not want you to attend family church. Find all my list here. Three reasons why the devil would not want you to attend family church. Number one, Satan is opposed to anything that will draw the Jesus out of you. He's opposed to anything that will draw the Jesus out of you. Over the last few weeks, I've gotten to really know the staff here at Family Church, and I can tell you that every single person on the staff here is equipped and qualified to draw the Jesus out of you. Are they perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But yet we are equipped to draw the Jesus out of you. The enemy doesn't want that. Number two, the second thing why the enemy would not want you to attend family church, Satan, number two, seeks to remove you from the prayer cover. You may not be aware of this, but there are things that we pray over the people of family church on a daily basis. And I'm going to just give you a few of the things that we pray over you every day. Some of these things, the staff was already praying when I came. Some of these things I added once the merge was complete. But here are some things that get prayed over you and over your kids and over your life every single day. That you're covered by the blood of Jesus. That you are accident free, tragedy free, sick free, no disease will come near your dwelling place. No evil will befall you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Blessings, bonuses, benefits, good news from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Great is your peace. You're anointed to win, impossible to curse, empowered to prosper. You will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit loud and clear, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. You will possess every place the sole of your foot treads upon. You'll be blessed going and blessed coming. They are the first and not the last, above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. The favor of God surrounds you like a shield. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. You experience the goodness of God in the land of the living, and that you'll be overtaken by the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Now, how many of you, that sounds pretty good to you? What are the blessings of Deuteronomy 28? Let's just read this real quick. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 says, if you fully obey the Lord and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee in seven. The Lord will send blessing upon your barns and everything that you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you as an oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, and the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open heaven, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on top and never at the bottom. Doesn't that sound something you want for your life? So we pray the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 13 over you. We also pray for you to make quantum leaps. And some of you know what the quantum leap is all about because you were here when I did that teaching back on Wednesday night when we were just doing better together. What's a quantum leap? The explosive jump that a particle of matter undergoes in moving from one place to another. An abrupt transition, any sudden or significant change, advance, or increase. In quantum mechanics, particles that make these jumps do so with little effort and without covering all the bases between the starting and ending points. What's that mean? You can make an explosive jump in your personal and spiritual life that puts you far beyond the next logical step. You can experience a divine shortcut. Isn't that awesome? I think it was on Thursday or Friday. We were praying for quantum leaps in your bank account. Yeah, somebody's like, I'm glad because I checked my balance. Yeah, we were praying for quantum leaps in your bank account. You would look in your bank account and you would move way past the next logical step. We were praying. We were praying at your job that you would leap over like 10 people that were more qualified than you for a higher position. So when that happens, that's all me. Obviously, it's not. But wouldn't that be awesome? Well, guess what? The enemy does not want that to be prayed over you. He does not want you to be here where that is being prayed over you. So he seeks to remove you from the prayer cover. And then finally, number three, this is the last one. Satan seeks to isolate you. And I could give you many examples, but when Elijah is on the mountain with the nation of Israel and they're all experiencing the fire of God's power, he is a spiritual giant. But once removed from God's people and God's power, he isolates himself and he believes that life is no longer worth living. And so here's what I see. It's the banana that leaves the bunch that gets peeled. It's the pea that leaves the pod that gets shucked. It's the grape that leaves the cluster that gets crushed. In isolation is where you feel peeled, shucked, and crushed. Did I say all that right? Yeah. So don't be the banana that leaves the bunch. The enemy wants to pull you away, but Jesus wants to pull you in. You need a spiritual family. You need a place where you are connected, where you are contributing. It is the natural environment that God created you to thrive in. It is the only place where you will fulfill your destiny. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, felt the need to go to church usually, then I think Larry Duggar and all of you should probably follow suit. We need the church. We need the church. Let's stop right there and stand. Now, I know we had a lot of fun this morning and you know, said some things that were true. And I obviously said some things I was joking about. But what I do know is that the church helps me to be my best. And the reason the church helps me to be my best isn't because of programs or groups or, I mean, those are contributing factors, and I think those are awesome. But the reason the church helps me to be my best is because the church teaches me to be like Jesus. And that's what I need if I'm going to walk in my best, and so do you. So let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful this morning for a couple of things. Number one, we're thankful for the church as a whole. When I say the church as a whole, I mean the body of Christ. I mean, just like we're meeting right now, there are other bodies of Christ meeting all over this town. People just like us that are good people. People that are connected. People that are contributing. People that we may not see here on Sunday, but we'll see on Monday when we go into our workplace. And we're thankful for the body of Christ. And we're thankful for good churches in Lebanon. And there are many. There are many good churches in Lebanon. There are many good, solid pastors. Good, solid ministries in this town. We are blessed. We are blessed. And so I just want to thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ as a whole. Those here, those that live in other states, those that live in other countries, Lord, we're better. We truly are better together, and I'm thankful for them. And then secondly, Lord, I am thankful for Family Church. I am thankful for the people that are here, and I am thankful, God, that you have a plan that is far bigger than any plan that we could ever think of or come up with on our own. Lord, that you are doing something in this building, in this moment of time, that honestly, I don't think has ever been done in this town for sure. And Lord, you're doing it so well. And we just get to partner in that. And I think that's awesome. And so today, when I talk about needing the church, what I'm really saying is that we need each other. That we need people who share our convictions and our moral compass and our faith that we can join together with in good times and in bad. People that make us better, people that build us when we're down, people that we can build when they're down. That's the church. It's about being different, but yet at the same time being the same. So that it doesn't matter if you're a naturalist and you like to have church outside, or if you're a traditionalist and you like some of the things that are more old school, or maybe you're an activist and you just love to pray and you love to just encounter the enemy with spiritual weapons. Lord, in a healthy church, all those people fit together. They all fit together. And everyone finds their niche. They find a place where they fit and where they belong. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pray today, God, I pray, Lord, against all of the things that the enemy would try to do to pull people away from this place. This is a good place. And the enemy doesn't want anything good for any of us. And so he always tries to pull us away from the things that are good and the things that are God. And Lord, we just pray for your help this morning. And we believe that we are moving forward together in Jesus' name. Everybody look this way just for a moment. If you're here today, and you're without Jesus, as we always say, you're the most important person in this room. Being a part of a church is awesome, but it's not nearly as important as being a part of going to heaven. And for you to go to heaven, you have to do more than be a part of a church. You have to accept Jesus Christ into your life. You have to ask him to forgive you of your sins. And you have to accept him as your Savior. That's not always easy to do, especially in a room where there are probably 350 people. But Jesus said it like this. Jesus said that that whenever we come to Him, we need to do it in a way that shows that we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of Him. And so this morning, if you're here and you would say, hey, Pastor Larry, you know what? I'm not sure that my life is where it needs to be with God. I'm not sure that if something were to happen to me today, that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, but I want to be. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to come into my life. Maybe you were raised in this church. Maybe you're a teenager and you were raised in this church. And your parents always brought you here. And you've always just kind of been a part of what's going on because your mom and dad, maybe they've been here for years, but maybe you've never really made that decision in your own heart and in your own mind. You've never really came to God and accepted Jesus into your life. And I'm talking to you this morning as well. And so if you're here and you're not a believer but you want to be, I would invite you to come this morning, right now. We're cheering for you. We've been praying for you. We've been trusting God for you all week. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus, as some of the prayer team's coming, right now is the perfect opportunity for you to come right now. Just come on up. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to pray with you. We will help you. We will help you find Jesus. Anyone, really quick this morning. Okay, how many of you would just be honest and say that maybe even just recently the enemy has been working really hard to pull you away from your spiritual family? Okay, I see those hands. Thank you for those hands. And you know what? With all the transition and everything that's going on, I think maybe I could lift my hand too. So why don't we just say a prayer this morning over everyone before we sing this last song together. Lord, I pray for every lifted hand. And I know that the enemy, he's so specialized in what he does. And so he looks at every individual situation and then he creates a plan of action. He looks at every individual heart and then he decides, okay, this is what I can do to pull them away from God. And it usually starts by pulling them away from the place where truth is taught, the environment of the Holy Spirit, a place where worship is happening, a place where prayers are going up. Lord, I know that's typically where it starts. If the enemy can pull us away and get us away from a community of faith and from people who are good for us, then it's not long until we start going down a dark path. And so, Lord, this morning I pray right now against every action, against every plan of attack, against every scheme. The word says that we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, so we know that he does have devices, he does have schemes, he does have strategies, he does have things that he puts in place in our lives to try to pull us away and separating us from our spiritual family. That is like job number one for the enemy. It's like a lion who meticulously goes into the herd and separates that one lone deer from the herd and gets that animal off by itself because he knows as long as it's with the herd, it's safe and his chances are a lot less. The lion knows that. So the lion knows if he can separate the one animal, he can devour. And Lord, just like the scripture says, that we have an enemy like a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, we pray this morning against every action. And we just believe that clarity of mind is coming. so that we can understand exactly what's going on. It's not that we're frustrated so much with our church. It's not that we're upset about the merge. It's not that, you know, someone on staff said something that we didn't like. No. Lord, often behind the scenes, there's this puppet master. There's an enemy, and he knows which strings to pull. He knows how to work the angle so that he can slowly but silently separate us. But not today. Not today. Because we recognize that. And we realize, Lord, that this is where we do, this is the church, that's where we find destiny. That's where we find purpose. That's where we find Goshen, the place called best. Is when we're connected, when we're contributing. And so today, God, we just offer our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, all of these things, Lord, we offer to you. And Lord, we pray, finally, we pray, God, for those in our community that are spiritually homeless. We had a great family up here earlier. And Lord, that family represents so many other families that we see every day, maybe at work, maybe while we're out shopping, maybe even people that we're related to that we see regularly. They're spiritually homeless. They're not connected. They're not plugged in anywhere. And Lord, we pray for them, and we pray, God, that you would use Family Church to reach those people. Lord, we do believe that when the environment is right, just like you sent the animals to the ark, that people will come. But Lord, we also believe the Great Commission where Jesus said that we have to go. And so, Lord, we believe that they're going to come, but we also believe that we're going to go. And when those two things come together, then we can only expect to see people's lives changed. And so we offer you that today. And we're grateful for it in Jesus' name. Amen.